Welcome to the Swine Time Podcast here at Pipestone. I'm your host, Spencer Wayne. I'm one of the staff veterinarians. I'm also one of the owners of Pipestone Holdings, and I have this great, awesome, fun pleasure of hosting this podcast, the Swine Time Podcast. And usually it's folks that we work with here within our company, but sometimes it's outside guests, and it's always something that I would say would be entertaining and interesting for the folks listening, which are generally farmers, but a lot of different kinds of folks listen. And today I have the pleasure of welcoming Kia Berg, and she's one of our staff nutritionists. She's actually got a fancier title than that. I saw it on your email the other day, but she's here to talk about feed costs as they've come down and how to approach that. Might be some good insight and give you guys a few ideas of how to manage your feed cost and your production cost. I will quit rambling and turn it over to Kia, but Kia, why don't you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about who you are and how you came to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Spencer, for the invitation today. My name is Kia Berg. I actually have been with Pipestone almost 4 years now, but prior to coming to Pipestone, I am not a native of the Midwest, so I would have grown up on the West Coast in Oregon. I got introduced to pigs through 4-H, so my family had 20 show pig sows. We actually supplied those pigs to the majority of the people in the Pacific Northwest. We were a huge producer.
Really?
Which is wild out there. That was really my start into it, and I knew I wanted to do something with pigs. I actually crossed off vet school early in life.
Oddly enough. Wise decision.
Yep. Sorry, that wasn't for me, but ended up through livestock judging, getting out to Kansas State University. And so that was kind of my foot in the door to the Midwest. Got involved with undergraduate swine research there and got introduced to the applied swine nutrition team, and then started doing my master's, really focusing on sow nutrition and different feeding strategies there. Springboarded into a PhD and graduated right in the middle of COVID and started at Pipestone. So had a really awesome time through my PhD and master's at there, getting to go to several different commercial production systems, be in those sow farms, work in those sow farms, conduct research trials. And that's really where I fostered my passion for sow nutrition, which is my bread and butter here at Pipestone. Mm-hmm. But then I get to oversee a lot of our formulation activities today as well.
Yeah, interesting. So a few things just to clarify.
Yeah.
not Portland, but you're in Oregon there.
Yep.
You didn't go to ag school out there. You came and went to ag school at K-State.
Correct.
Okay. So really K-State, your master's, your PhD, your graduate work, that was at K-State. Mm-hmm. Kind of most people would say that's the nerve center of U.S. swine nutrition. I'd want to be offensive to any other universities have programs looking at nutrition. They're great programs, but K-State is the place. That fair to say? You'll say that.
I would definitely say, I have a purple cup in front of me.
Yeah, you do. It's not for Vikings either.
Nope.
Yeah. So when did you work there? You said sow nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
That when I run across nutritionists, I think most would say, oh, I do sow nutrition, I do grow finished nutrition. But mm-hmm. because it's such a, it's a small slice of the total nutrition effort,
mm-hmm.
what percent of nutritionists out there are really sow nutrition specialists, if you're going to say that? Is there such a thing? Maybe not.
Oh, gosh. I would say, 5-10% maybe. I mean, most of the nutritionists today, you're going to be well-rounded and well-versed in multiple areas. I think we have a unique opportunity here at Pipestone because we manage so many sows that you can truly be specialized in that area. And I think that does bring some value to have specialists in certain areas.
Very good. All right. We'll get on to the meat of the matter. Probably just talk about feed costs and how they've come down just to set the scene, because they were all ingredients went up, but something specifically went up in our total feed cost and mm-hmm. as a percentage of production went way up. What, a year and a half, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And it's been high for way over a year.
Yep.
But can you just give us a timeline, what it looks like now compared to a year ago, 6 months ago, and what you maybe think we're heading into? You maybe can't comment on that because nobody knows, but whatever you think.
Yeah, without having that true crystal ball, I can kind of give perspective. So really at the end of 2020 and really starting into 2021, coming out of COVID, we saw a lot of those prices on ingredients creep up. And so then we continue to see that feed cost rise for all producers. But really the nice thing for us that's happened here, gosh, once new crop corn hit this fall, so new crop 2023, we've seen corn come down dramatically, soybean meal come down dramatically. Distillers has kind of held flat for whatever reason, but a lot of our commodities have come down in price, which is very nice for us. And I was looking at some rough numbers a year ago in January. We were probably talking about $110 for a wean to finish pig, roughly.
Okay.
And today, if we ran those same diets, it looks almost like $81 a pig. So that's $30 savings, really driven off of that corn and soybean meal price coming down pretty dramatically. We were talking $7 corn about 2 years ago or even a year ago, right? Mm-hmm. That was the norm. And today we're 460, 470, really depending on where you're at. The board's 440. So
that's the biggest driver. Mm-hmm. It's not soybean meal. It's not something else. Corn is the king.
Corn is king. Soybean meal would be number two. Yeah.
Okay. So I think of those as like true up and down commodities, depending on supply demand. Now then you get to things, the smaller ingredients. How much did inflation screw all this up where everything, my McDonald's cost way more? Is that affecting things like lysine or VTM, anything like that that's smaller where it's not supply demand as much as like the dollars just doesn't go as far? So now that VTM costs $10 more than it used to or something. What does that look like?
Well, interestingly, on the VTM side, those vitamins too in the past year have really seen like probably a 20 to 30% decrease in vitamin cost for whatever reason. Now, there is probably still increased input costs, to your point, labor, whatever those inputs are to make those vitamins and minerals. But over the course of the year, they have come down. So that's really nice for us. So we're kind of sitting at a low. I don't know if they'll go much lower, but we're sitting at a low, which is beneficial for all producers. The lysine amino acids, a lot of those are made from corn. And so at some point, as long as that corn input continues to drop, then you're going to see a reduction in your lysine price. But again, the energy cost to produce that, the labor, at some point we're gonna hit a floor that you can't go any lower just because of the cost of inflation, right? So will we ever see 60 cent lysine again? I don't think so. We're probably gonna be in that 80 to 90 cent range, which is kind of where we're at today. But we were at $1.10, $1.20, $1.30 in the past 2 years. So
okay, so significant drop from a year ago. Mm-hmm. And Kia promises it's just going to get cheaper. No, I'm kidding. But no way to know. Is there anything saying that, you can't tell right now because we have no idea what the U.S. weather market is going to be influencing corn production for next year or anything. So no way to know.
No way to know. China imported a lot less corn. So that could be part of it. But I mean, the world dynamics and China just drives so much of a lot of those prices. But then also weather patterns. Every time South America has a change in weather pattern, that'll drive price. And so a lot of it's just based off of weather patterns.
Okay. There's probably some technical terms that I won't know, but you do. They got weird names. You were talking to me earlier and you mentioned a few of these things. Can you mentioned something called stocks to use. Can you describe what that means?
Yeah. The stocks to use ratio. So that was published on the latest WASDE reporter. It's published on all of the WASDE reports, which is what the USDA puts out. And so it kind of shows how much corn is available versus what's being used. And so over the past 2 years, it's kind of been in like the 9% range. And we jumped up to 14% on this latest stocks to use ratio. So basically what that means is there's more corn available than we're using. And we're getting back to a level of the stocks to use ratio that we were probably 3 or 4 years ago, which is why I think we're seeing that drop in corn price back down to that $4-5 range as opposed to the $6-8 range that we had been seeing.
Sure. That's like just a pressure head of steam or something that's going to force, it tends to force the price up or down. If you have a lot holding, cost money to hold it for one thing, it means it's there to use. And so you'll tend to have a price drop or a decrease in cost structure.
Yeah. I mean, it's really supply and demand, right? You have more supply, less demand, your price is going to drop.
Okay. Good to know. I'm learning all sorts of stuff today. Is there any other ingredients that you could focus on, or is it just those two? If you focus on those two, that's really all you're going to be able to. What about fat? Things like that have also gotten cheaper?
Also gotten cheaper. Yeah, a year ago we were probably in the 75 cent a pound range, and now we're at 60. So that's come down as well, which is nice. When we look at it in formulation, though, we're always ratioing it to corn right? Yeah. To another energy source. And so if you look at that relationship, the ratio is still quite high, would say. But we're in a time now where we're looking at potentially moving on to summer diets for these pigs, or pigs that are being placed now are going to start finishing out in the summer. Mm-hmm. And so we start to think about summer diet strategies. Will fat play into the picture or not? That's kind of the discussions our team's having right now. And maybe you can afford to spend a little bit more for that gain if that carcass price does hold up.
So when you say fat, I'm thinking, okay, pork fat, beef fat, tallow or cross fat grease, or vegetable oil.
Corn oil,
And is there any other sources of fat that come into play for vegetable oil of some kind of blend, or these two animal sources? That's your sources of fat, those three. Okay, so when it comes to cheaper ingredients, some will be cheaper than others. It'll change the way the diet gets formulated because if corn's really cheap, you want to use more of it.
Yep.
Not as much fat, vice versa. So the question I got for you is how often should you reformulate? How often did normally feed companies, individual farmers that make their own feed, how often do you reformulate typically? What's the recommendation? Just tell us what we should do and what on the extremes, what's wrong, what you shouldn't do.
Yeah, for sure. With the price fluctuations we're seeing right now, every week or every 2 weeks, we're going in just saying, okay, based on pricing, what does that do to formulation? And so if we see a certain cost savings, which that number is going to be different for every producer, but if that threshold is 30 cent cost savings per pig, mm-hmm. and we see that, okay, maybe we're going to reformulate. If we see a 5 cent change per pig, that's probably not worth our time, because by the time we reformulate that diet, get it to the mill, then that mill makes it and it gets in front of the pig.
Right.
Those ingredients could have changed in price again and it could have swapped back. And so for us, it's probably more than 5 cents, but less than a dollar, and every producer is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But for sure, once a month, rerun that formulation and see if that feed cost has changed per pig.
Yeah, I can think of this relationship of cost structure to activity that you should be changing for the hassle of doing it.
Yep.
Feed, it's cheaper now, but is that a smooth decline, or is that so up and down that, let's say, for example, if you had set a 30 cent per pig threshold, mm-hmm. but it's a pretty steady market, you could make, I keep bouncing around, at the sow unit, oh, this iron is cheaper than the other iron, we're going to change the iron for a 3 cent a pig cost savings. Like, we're making changes at pennies a pig yep. to make a wean pig.
Yep.
And if it was really steady, you might do that with feed, except it's up and down enough that, well, it's not worth it because next week it'll just be different. We'd be going nuts. You'd never make a steady change.
For the most part, those ingredients start following trends. So like corn will start to creep down every week. Uh-huh. Soybean will start to creep down every week for the most part. Now we get a WASD report out, or all of a sudden one of our amino acid suppliers can't mm-hmm. be in the market for some reason. We had that happen where tryptophan, a synthetic amino acid, all of a sudden one of the manufacturers in the U.S. couldn't make it. So then yeah. that price shot up. And so then that can potentially cause reformulation.
Okay, so common sense. This is really what the question is, and I bounced all around it. 30 cent a pig is a common sense. If you get 30 cents a pig cost savings, you should really reformulate your diets. That's yeah. probably enough.
That's a pretty easy one that we roll with today. Yep.
And the typical reformulation frequency is once a month to run the exercise, or to actually do it? Or
once a month for the exercise, for okay. sure. And then actually do it? Oh, gosh.
It's not once a month. It's something
it's not,
less.
Yeah. Usually won't be once a month unless we see a dramatic change in the market.
Okay. What's the longest period of time to reformulate you've run across, or do you run across people that have never, they've fed the same diet for the last 5 years? Do you run across that or not so
every
much?
Once in a while I do. People just either aren't in touch with their nutrition company, or aren't going through that exercise, or maybe they don't want to change for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I don't think that would be a smart decision because ingredient prices do change so much, but I would say at minimum you should be doing it 2 times a year. As we talk about the wean to finish pig, we have our summer market and our winter market, mm-hmm. and those are two different diet strategies. So for sure, twice a year, you should have a different set of diets going to your pigs.
Okay. I like it. What else do you think producers got to know about the current feed cost situation and what they ought to be doing? Any advice?
Feed cost is always expensive, right? It always makes up 60 to 70% of mm-hmm. your cost of production. I think it's always a worthwhile time to go through and see what additives have maybe crept into your diet over time, and if those are still bringing value. So, for example, copper is something that gets added from time to time. It's had some really nice data behind it, but do you still get the response? Or any mm-hmm. of those other feed additives that you may feed during the summer, not during the winter, a lot of times those can get layered in there. And we don't always get the response anymore. And so I think it's worth asking your nutritionist if those still need to be in there, or if there's other ones on the market that are new that we should be considering, or seeing if there's research out there on.
Yeah. So I got one more question. Yeah. This is probably a bad question, but why didn't you can just keep making it cheaper and cheaper until you're just feeding sawdust? The question I got is, what you've got standards you want to be formulating within for safety, so you don't feed a deficient diet in something.
Correct.
What are the biggest things you listen for, at least at the sow level, since that's your expertise? Yeah. They would say, we need to juice it up a little bit because we're getting what? What are the things you would see if you were running it too lean? If you're managing cost and you're trying mm-hmm. to get that thing ultra cheap, what's the first thing that shows up? Sorry, I've sprung this question out of nowhere. But
total born drop. I mean, that's a big one. But that's a hard one for sure, because if you feed something deficient, you either won't see that total born until mm-hmm. that sheaf arrows out that time, or the subsequent.
Yeah.
One, depending off it, if it was deficient in lactation. And so total born or farrowing rate, those would be the two big ones.
Yeah. I would say just internal experience here is when you have massive pressure on to reduce cost, and you do, and you cheapen the diets up a lot, you do see the total born decrease, and it's clear.
Yeah. Cheapen the diets or reduce the amount of feed she's consuming, right? Okay. Those would be the two ways you could achieve that.
Cell mortality impact. You and I have talked a lot about lameness at different, just some situations we worked with, but is that a place you'd likely see it, or is it really going to be just performance drop? mostly.
I'd say performance, unless you're severely out of line in terms of like a lysine to calorie or a calcium to phosphorus ratio, something like that. I don't think mortality would probably show up. Or particle size. That's a simple one, right? More ulcers, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, on that, what does a sow need for minimum, or what should be the maximum particle size for a gestating sow or a lactating sow? Any thoughts on that?
Maximum particle size. Ooh, probably 850.
That'd be the maximum?
Probably.
Because I'm thinking a gestating sow got all the time in the world for a limited amount of feed. Yep. She could probably get fed whole corn and get a lot of it. Or not quite, but crack corn. She wouldn't waste a lot because it's a slow passage.
She would be able to extract more, for sure. Right.
Okay. I just think if you had any comments on ulcers versus grind size.
Yeah. They're still at the end of the day, she only has so much passage time, right? So yeah. I think you could probably get away with actually a little bit higher in gestation than you could in lactation, right? Because in lactation, she's eating so much and we want as much
energy
per bite of feed in her.
I just think of her palatability or ulcer control or things if there was... I'm getting way off topic, but you were the sow person, so I wanted to ask you sow nutrition questions.
The other one I will mention, kind of related to feed cost or how we can help in that regard. Yes, it's coming down, but as you look to feed your barn and you have a mortality event go through your herd,
yes,
all of a sudden, if you are 100 pigs shorter, you want to make sure that you adjust your feed ordering accordingly. Mm-hmm. And that you don't just keep the same amount based on your starting inventory in that barn, because you can end up overfeeding those more expensive earlier phases.
Oh, yeah. Like so, a bad PERS,
PERS, like a bad PERS event
where you have 50% mortality.
Yeah.
You would never get to your last finishing phases.
No, you'd probably get to like your third to last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good comment.
Yeah.
That's one thing to keep in mind. Nothing else to cover. I just want to say thanks for coming. I see you here regularly, so it's not like you're some special visitor, but it is kind of cool that you were able to come on, because when I think we were going to have somebody else on for nutrition.
We have the boys, so I'm glad we evened it up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm really glad you were able to come today. I knew you'd be a better guest anyway than those guys. So
yeah.
That's good. So I hope our listeners had a few little nuggets they were able to glean from this. And I want to say thanks to Kia and thanks to our listeners out there. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to the next time we host somebody else on the Swine Time Podcast.
The Swine Time Podcast was created for the pork industry and individual pork producers around the country. Hosted by me, Dr. Spencer Wayne, with the Pipestone Veterinary Services. The podcast contains pork industry news, advancements in animal care, and how to enhance your productivity. Monthly podcasts are available on Spotify, Google Music, iTunes, Anchor, and on www.pipestone.com.